going with videos. It's something that I'm not sure how often we've done it here in this church, but it's something that I've done before. And it's different. It's kind of like what happened with Aggie and Rachel and me last Sunday afternoon. As those of you who were here last Sunday morning, we showed a video here about VBS and about the actual Argyle Park ministry. And then we prayed for the staff. And one of the staff members that we prayed for is a man named Evan. Evan Teklik is the son of the pastor of the True Life Eritrean Church that meets here later on today at about 2:30 today. The Eritrean Church meets. And so Rachel and Aggie and I decided to do the same thing there. So we went to the worship service, and we went and we showed the club the actual video for Argyle Park and for the Summer Park Ministry and for VBS. And then we prayed for Evan, because that is his church. And it was such a unique worship experience, because while we were there, we were not... How do I say this? We didn't know the language. The only English that was ever spoken was the English of us, and as we prayed for them. And then we had this amazing time of worship, and the worship was not like we had experienced before, but what was so cool was this, is those about 12 or 14 adults sitting in the spots where you guys are sitting were worshiping God in this amazing, amazing way. And we did not understand a single word. But it was truly an amazing worship experience for us. And it was so beautiful. We talked about that afterwards, after we had left. In a sense, what happened last Sunday afternoon is that we were foreigners in the very seats that you guys are sitting in right now. And I started thinking about that, and I wondered this. Have you ever been a foreigner? I don't mean being part of something that you're out of, that's kind of out of your environment. For instance, if I was to go to a biker rally, that's totally not my environment in any way, but I wouldn't be a foreigner, right? Because I know the language, and I understand the culture a little bit. What I mean here when I say if you've ever been a foreigner, I mean, have you ever been and gone to a place where the culture is completely different from what you know, that language is foreign and everything else is really quite alien to you? Have you ever been to a spot like that? I actually think of Aiden. Aiden Dick, I think when he went to actually Project Serve, he was a foreigner in a foreign land. He didn't know the culture, the environment. I think of actually Callie Enns as well this summer or this spring when she went on her missions trip. So any of you, have you ever been a foreigner? And I don't mean going to the resort in Cuba or in Mexico. Have you ever been a foreigner in any spot? I look at actually Rainier here too. You've probably been a foreigner when you came to Canada and Roxanne, right? You've truly been a foreigner. Well, I would dare say this to you guys. I would say this, that as a follower of Jesus, not only have you been a foreigner, you actually are a foreigner. I would suggest that to you. And the reason I suggest that to you is get this thought and this idea from the book of 1 Peter. So if you have your Bibles or your phones, please turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. If you want a Bible, on the back pulpit back there, there are some other Bibles there that you guys can go and to follow along through my message here this morning. So please turn in your Bibles or on your phones to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to be looking at today the greeting in there. Because you see, my sense is this, is that sometimes when in our own personal devotional times or when we go with our small group, we go through a book. And often what we do is we kind of glance over kind of the greeting, and then because we really want to get to the meat of what God is trying to say. But my sense is this, is that sometimes when we just glance over the actual introduction, the actual greeting, we miss something really, really important. And I think in 1 Peter chapter 1, we actually see that here. So that's why we're going to spend today, this morning, looking at this greeting. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 says this way in my Bible. It says, "This is a letter from Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. I'm writing to God's chosen people who are living as foreigners in the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. God the Father knew you and chose you long ago, and His Spirit has made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed Him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. May God give you more and more grace and peace." Let's pray. Father, this morning, as we come into Your Word, I pray, Lord, that You would come and not only fill me, but You would open our ears to hear. Because, God, You have something here for us. May we be attentive to that. Because, God, we want You to change. We want You to transform and to mold us more and more into the image of Jesus. This I pray. Amen. Well, for those of you who were here last week, you'll notice that one of the things I said last week is that letters back in the Old Testament, or Old Testament back in this day, when this letter was written, had a usual standard formula. Not all of them followed it, but a standard formula that they would often do is that they would have it saying who the person is, who it's for, and then say some type of greeting. And we see that actually here in this letter of 1 Peter, right? The first verse tells us who the author is. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Next, it says who it is writing to, and in part it says this. He says, "I'm writing to God's chosen people." It's really an interesting phrase. And this thought is also mentioned in the second part of the verse that I've got highlighted here when it says that God the Father knew you and chose you long ago. Folks, that idea and that thought is a powerful, powerful statement. And a statement that we would miss if we just glance over this opening. Folks, you and I are chosen. We're chosen by God. Jesus says something similar to this when he says to us in John chapter 15 and verses 16 and 19, when he says, "You didn't choose me, I chose you." Verse 19 says, The world would love you as one of its own if you belong to it. But you are no longer part of the world. I chose you to come out of the world, so it hates you. Romans chapter 8, verses 28 to 30. I love how the Apostle Paul puts this. When he says, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose, for His purpose for them." And we often stop there when we look at this passage. But go on, look at verses 29 and 30 when it says, "For God knew His people in advance and He chose them to become like His Son so that His Son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters, and having chosen them, He called them to come to Him, and having called them, He gave them right standing with Himself, and having given them right standing, He gave them His glory." Folks, the Scriptures make it extremely clear that we are chosen by God. And when I think about this, I think about back when I was in school, in elementary school. Back that up one slide there, Tyler. I think about being chosen for scrub baseball. I don't know if you guys ever played baseball during recess or during lunch hour or maybe even after school, but that's what I did. Often in the springtime, we would play baseball. We'd do the whole schoolyard thing, right? We'd kind of line up and everything, right? And that stuff, and we'd choose the captains, and the captains would then pick the best player and then go kind of to not the so-good player. To be honest, I was often the last one chosen. Okay, there's like an awe should come here. Often I was the last one chosen. Oh, thank you for your compassion for me. I really appreciate that. You know, because I had such bad hand-eye coordination that I could barely hit the ball. I could do that. So I was the last one chosen, and often it felt like I was chosen because somebody had to choose Brian. Any of you ever feel like that? Anyone ever been the last one chosen? Okay, if I see Paul's hand up and a few others, right? Isn't that horrible? It's just the most awful feeling when you're thinking, yeah, if there was somebody else, they'd be chosen before me, right? It's just horrible. But that's not God. See, in God's economy, everyone is chosen first. There is no last one chosen because somebody had to choose them, right? That's not at all. Ephesians 1, verses 4 and 5 says it like this. It's part of the passage that Marv read for us today. It says, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us to be in Christ, to be holy without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us into his kingdom through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. Do you see what this is saying to us here, folks? That God has chosen you and me even before the foundation of the world. So in other words, he chose us to be part of his baseball team even before we wanted to know that we wanted to actually play on the baseball team. It is this amazing concept. And this passage, probably more than any other passage in the last 2 years, has gripped me deeply. That since before the foundations of the world, before this amazing universe that God has given to us and has made, he has chosen me and he's chosen you. And he did it, why, the scripture says? Because he has loved us. He has loved us. Folks, we cannot ever forget this foundational truth. No matter what circumstances that we're in, or no matter what other people may say to us, or what the enemy may whisper into our ears, we're loved by God, and we are chosen by him. And in love, we're chosen. This is what the opening verses of the greeting part of 1 Peter chapter 1 says to us, and the other scriptures affirm. You're not an afterthought. You're not chosen because there's nobody else better, because if somebody else was you, they'd be chosen before you. You were chosen first. And because of that, and how this has all been done, according to 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 2, it says that the Spirit has made us holy. Or your Bible, your phone might say something like the word sanctified, okay? And this is essentially saying with what we looked at a few weeks ago in John chapter 14, verse 17, which says that he is the Holy Spirit who leads us into all truth. It was, I think, 4 weeks ago that I gave a message on the Holy Spirit, and we talked about this very fact, the fact that as the Spirit works in our hearts and our lives, the Spirit speaks to people all over the world. Everyone, every person alive, the Spirit is nudging and speaking to them. And he did that for you and for me. He nudged us and he spoke to us and he pointed us towards Jesus and saying, you want peace? Go to Jesus. You want freedom? Go to Jesus. So the Spirit, the scripture affirms, is at work within us. And we have truly have experienced that, right? Because verse 2 then goes on to say this, that as a result, you have obeyed him, have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. As a follower of Jesus, we truly, truly know experientially, and I talked about that last week, right? That the word knowledge is this experience of something that we live out, okay? It's not just some intellectual knowledge. Knowledge, or actually intellectual ideas or thoughts. Knowledge means we live it out. You are sitting here because you have experientially known Jesus, and you've been cleansed by his blood. And doesn't this excite you? It sure excites me. See, this introduction that we often glance over to get to the real meat of things lays actually the foundational truth of who we are as followers of Jesus. It shows us really the whole Trinitarian God here at work, that God the Father has chosen us. The Spirit of God is working in us and nudging us towards Jesus. And the Son of God, Jesus, has actually saves us. Folks, this is where we do the happy dance. Okay? Or maybe the happy squirm. You guys are sitting, so you guys can squirm your butt a little bit, right? Just scoot along. Because it gets so excited, folks. There's nothing more exciting than this. There's nothing more exciting than what 1 Peter has told us here in these very verses, the fact of what God has done in and through our lives. So we think, I don't know how well you guys dance or don't dance, I don't care, but we've got to get excited about this. This is the foundational truth of what we've gone. We've gone from the losing team, as it were, to the winning team, because God's team always wins. It's like the Washington Generals playing against the Harlem Globetrotters. I think they play like, I don't know, how many thousands of games. They've won like five. Because they never, the Washington Generals never win. Same thing here. The enemy will never win. We are now on God's winning team because we made that decision to follow Jesus. And folks, because of that, there's a huge, huge implication for us. We see that actually in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, when it says, "But we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives." So what's going on here is that theologically speaking, once we became followers of Jesus, we kind of moved, okay? Kind of like Rachel and I and Tyler, we moved from our apartment to our home, to our house. Now this house is our permanent home. Well, we've done that theologically once we accepted Jesus, because we've moved from this earth to heaven. That truly is our home, theologically speaking. And that means then, really what 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 says to us is true. To God's chosen people who are living as foreigners, okay, or your Bible might say a word like a stranger or exile. We are now, theologically speaking, foreigners here on this earth. And this word foreigner, according to the commentator Grant Osborne, means this. It means a visitor who is in a location for only a short term. So then think about that, folks, for just a moment. We're on this earth and in this place for a short term. And that means that we're there for a job to do for a couple of certain reasons. And the first reason, the first implication that we have behind this is this. We need to do what we need to do. Okay? That's what Aiden did when he went on Project Serve. That's what Callie did when she went down to Mexico. That's what some of you guys who have gone on actual MDS or some other things, you've gone into these places where you truly are a foreigner, but you have a reason and you have a purpose. It might be to build an orphanage or a house or whatever. So we are now here on this earth because we need to do what we need to do, because God has a reason and a place for us to be on this earth. We see that in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16. "You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father." We are called to be light. Or verse 13 says, in this passage, we are called to be sight, to be salt. Folks, the reason why God did not take you up to be in your home permanently in heaven the day after you became a follower of Jesus is because of this. You see, people reach people for Jesus. I know of only one person that actually became a follower of Jesus by actually watching TV. Most of the people I've ever heard about who've made a decision to follow Jesus is because somebody's talked to them. That's why you're sitting here. Because somebody talked to you about Jesus. Somebody became a light to you. This is why we're here in this heaven. People say we're on this heaven to glorify God. Absolutely. And we are. We sang about that, and we're going to keep on singing it. We will glorify God. Absolutely. And we'll be doing that in heaven. The one thing that I don't think we will ever do in heaven is be a witness for Jesus Christ and bringing somebody into faith in Jesus Christ. And I would dare say this to you, that the reason that you're in the job that you're in is to be salt and light. The reason why you do the recreational stuff that you do, God's primary role is for you to be salt and light. You live in your community to be salt and light. You live in your neighborhood to be salt and light. We have a job and we have a role to do on this earth. That's why we're living as foreigners on this very earth. We need to do what we need to do, and that is be salt and light for Jesus. The second implication that I think we have for us, that God has for us here about being foreigners on this earth, and that is this. We're to live like citizens of heaven, and that means, among other things, living like Jesus. We call ourselves Christians. We call ourselves, to use my term, followers of Jesus. We call ourselves disciples. And whatever term you use to describe yourself, what it is that you look towards Jesus as your example of how to do life. And we do that. We do that. We copy what he does. We copy his values. We copy his focuses, which was the kingdom. He was all about the kingdom. That's why he said he came to this earth, is to bring the kingdom here. We copy him in holiness that we talked about last week as well. We still, even though we're foreigners on this earth, we live like our citizenship is in heaven. We reflect Jesus. We reflect holiness. We value what he values. We don't ever lose that. We don't ever, on this level, in this way, become like our world. And so often, at times, we have. We take it on the values of our world that are not values that are reflecting Jesus in any way. And as we do that, we become less salty. Our light dims a little bit. So let's fully understand and fully grasp the fact that God is calling us to live as foreigners on this earth and on this land, to live like Jesus. This world so desperately needs this. The world so desperately needs us to shine the hope of this world. So folks, there you have it. And these are some of the truths that we can glean from this greeting that we have here in 1 Peter chapter 1. It's why I think these greeting times that we often so easily glance over, they're so full and they have so much for us. And we've seen some of these truths, right? These truths like God the Father has chosen us. Again, not because he had to, but because he wanted to. And he did it just before he actually made this very earth. I mean, none of us believe the lie that we're less than special to God. Because sometimes we believe that lie of the enemy. But the other truth that we have gleaned out of this passage that I wanted to remind you guys of is this, is that we are living as foreigners in this land because heaven is our home. And may we live each day like Jesus. And may we be salt and light to this world that needs to know the freedom that you have. Because there's freedom in Christ. Sin is bondage, the scriptures tell us. May we live like Jesus on this earth. So may these truths spur us on this week. And may these truths that we've read and that we've heard of this morning, may they affect our thoughts, our attitudes, and our actions. Because that's putting with what God is saying to us into practice. Let's pray. So just take a moment just to ponder what's been said here this morning. Is there something very specifically that God is speaking to you about? If it is, why don't you just talk to God for a moment? Just talk to him about that. Maybe you don't realize that you've been chosen, that you're not second place. Maybe it truly is the fact that you're on this earth, you're in your environment to be salt and light. Or maybe you just haven't been living like Jesus. Just talk to God. You know, God, I'm so thankful that you are a God that is so personal and so intimate with us. And that in the midst of this morning, as we've listened to this message, God, that you've spoken to us. And you said something different to me as you've said to other people. And that's so cool because you meet us with where we're at. So, Lord, in these discussions that we've been having with you, I pray, Father, that you would just lead us and that we would just affirm again this commitment to you with the things that you're doing and you want to do, the change, the transformation that you ask. Holy Spirit, you led us into truth. Lead us into more truth, into you. Help us as we live out these things. Because, God, we can't do it without you. We can't do it without you leading. But because you are leading and because we're submitting to you, we can truly be the men and the women that you've called us to be. Thank you, Jesus. Lead us, God, I pray. Amen. For our closing song, we're going to sing a song that is probably new to many of us.